This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1919. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 27th, Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, Czechia, Ethiopia, France, Germany, Iran, Kyrgyzstan, New Zealand, Nigeria, Russia, South America, South Carolina, Uganda, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Claudio Galas in Chile reports on the Condish list, the Argentine pirate Radio Lupo, L-U-P-O, on 6973 a.m., February 23rd, playing tangos at 2240 until 2255. Chris Smolensky in Maryland of Black Cat Systems and HF Underground says, another new South American pirate uses 6991 a.m. variable. Marco Polo Radio, heard several times in the 22 to 24 UT time period or so, generally weak, but occasional peaks, and they even QSL. And we're still hearing another NID pirate on 6934.9 a.m., quite good with peaks to SIO 333 just before midnight UT, probably due to some gray line enhancement. About those low-power but legal Australian stations, Ron Howard reports, thanks to owner and operator of Aussie Radio, Craig Allen, responding to my inquiry about its status. On February 21st, he said Aussie Radio is changing frequency from 5045 to 4835 and would be back on the air soon. But that seems to be in a state of flux because the next day, February 22nd, Ron Howard says that Craig Allen posted on WRTHFB that he would stay on 5045 and would use 4835 for another station in Alice Springs. Now about the other station, 10 kilohertz away, on 5055 Radio 4KZ in Queensland. Its transmission was abbreviated, and Ron Howard got a reply from its general manager, Al Curtin, saying, it's okay, but I turn it off remotely when there is a lot of lightning around as I can't buy a spare RF module. If you ever hear of anyone with spares for a 1 kilowatt LPB, U.S.-made shortwave transmitter, let me know. Then on February 22nd, Ron Howard reports his monitoring of 5055 4KZ, mostly playing pop songs. After 10:43 UT, they started the news at 1400 but cut it short at 1402 and off the air, but there must have been no thunderstorms around for that day on a normal schedule. It had gone off the previous day earlier at 1243. Tim Gaynor in New South Wales replies on the World of Radio group, I get 4KZ with good clarity in my morning hours. When I checked 5045 at 21 UT, it was a carrier with no modulation, S5 to S9, for about an hour or so, and the same thing the day before. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports Radio Gaúcha, Porto Alegre, Brazil, on the air, 11915, February 23rd at 2040, in Portuguese with Brazilian songs and some interference from Saudi Arabia. In fact, the Saudi on the same frequency is a big problem for pulling through Radio Gaúcha. Not sure of its precise frequency, but if you can split hairs, Wolfgang Büschel says the exact frequency of Saudi Arabia was 10 hertz below 11915. In Arabic, of course, it stays on the air until 2300, and we think by then the Brazilian has signed off. Wolfgang Büschel also says there's a new Kiwi SDR in Paraguay, an excellent remote receiver, using that at midday local time, 1500 UT, February 27th. He heard Radio Cultura Filadelfia, Foz do Iguaçu, Brazil, on the air, 6105.37. Andy Reid in Ontario forwards an announcement from CBC Help that Radio 2 has now been renamed CBC Music, but Radio 1 still retains its name for now. Also news from CBC British Columbia that Arthur Black has died. Longtime CBC radio personality at the age of 74. He spent 3 decades and hosted the show Basic Black for 19 years. Thanks to Mike Cooper for that. Clara Listenspreken forwards an item from RCI's website, which still exists. They are still in the Maison de Radio-Canada à Montréal, but they're about to destroy their Clyde Gilmore collection and more. Lack of funding and lack of space is requiring part of their audio archives to be digitized and the rest disposed of. There are also a lot of 78 RPM records there. Quite a medium wave DX catch is reported by Bruce County, New Hampshire of the National Radio Club. The Chinese station on 1098 kHz, which is in Golmud, Qinghai, not far from Tibet in western China, February 11th at 2300 UT. He says it was weak but alone in domestic splatter with no sign of Spain on the frequency, which is more often heard. Orchestral fanfare in CNR 11ID in Tibetan. His compatriots in the Real DX group confirm that that was the station heard, Mika Mikkelainen and Mauno Ritola and Jari Savolainen. Last week, I mentioned that the extremely distorted, filthy spur blobs of Radio Havana Cuba's 15370 transmitter, appearing all over the 19-meter band, had gradually diminished and disappeared. That was as of February 20th, but they were back by February 22nd during the 14 to 16 UT period when that transmitter is on the air. And furthermore, obviously the same transmitter was in use for the 19 to 21:30 UT broadcast on 15140. Because February 22nd, I was hearing a similar array of spur blobs correlating with that transmitter ranging from 14935 to 15414. Those were roughly 68 to 70 kilohertz apart. Well, it was every morning from February 23rd, at least through the 27th, that they were being heard out of the 15370 transmitter. For instance, on the 27th, they were about 70 kilohertz apart, audible all the way between 14880 and 15720. About the times when Radio Prague in English can be heard via WRMI last week, there was one more I overlooked. 2330 UT on 5850, as Mark Cody in Ontario reminds us. Via the remote in Holland, I found a new frequency for Radio OMN, Oromia Media Network, the clandestine for Ethiopia via Bulgaria. 11595 for the 16 to 17 UT broadcast, parallel to 11575. The upper one had started out as 11600 and then disappeared. Nothing else has been scheduled on 11595 for a long time. In fact, the last time anything was reported there was the FCC bust of station YHWH at the end of 2016. Although the date I first heard OMN on 11595 was February 24th. Wolfgang Büschel forwards news from Rainer Englert that another major longwave transmitting mast in Germany will be blown up. It's the one which used to be on 153 kilohertz, two masts at Donnerbach, Germany, 500 kilowatts, 250 at night, used by Deutschlandfunk with a null toward Romania. It will be exploded, blown up and destroyed forever on Friday, March 2nd, between 11 and 13 UT. I expect some video of that will be saved. The last DLF transmission happened at the end of 2014. Not on the program, but I notified our World of Radio I.O. group last week in advance that the annual broadcast of Radio Imran was expected again. It's always on February 21st, whatever the day of the week, at 16 to 17 UT on 15215. And in fact, it was being heard, the transmission via France. In case you're not familiar, it's spelt O-umlaut, M-R-A-N-G. John Filiozzi in Southwest Florida was hearing it much better than I was. He says the strictly once-a-year idiosyncratic program, mostly in German, with a little English now and then, and presumably the Frisian dialect. It sounded like a play of some sort or a very relaxed informal conversation among friends. Numerous sounds of boots walking, doors closing, and chairs moving. David Koenig in England of Edward Signals Online says, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran was observed with the Voice of Palestine opt-out from their main Arabic service in progress on 1161 kHz at 1945 UT, 21st February, parallel to shortwave 6060, reception fair to poor on both frequencies via a remote receiver in Ukraine. The program finished at 20:30, and after a couple of minutes of audio from the main Arabic service, 1161 went off the air. Monitoring 846 kHz from Kurisimas, Christmas Island in Kiribati. Walt Samaniv in Victoria, B.C. says it was really strong February 21st at 0620, just booming in with music, the strongest I've ever heard them, with local programming and talk not in English. Very impressive. However, on February 24th, Walt Samaniv says 846 with a great big open carrier at 0528, no audio at all. Gary DeBach replies, it's par for the course with 846. The station signal was unbelievably shaky during my Kona de-expedition in December, dropping out six times within 90 seconds on occasion, and having long, unplanned, silent periods. But then on February 27th, Walt says, unlike the other evening, reception strong, and the modulation is too. A woman in local dialect at 0548, 10 over 9, into Victoria, B.C. Craig Jordan in Sacramento has been listening online, and this may be referring to their mother's station in Kiribati on 1440. He heard them opening at 1825 UT and closing down at 1000 on Friday, February 23rd. In the indigenous language, talk and cultural music, but ID announced also in English at close down. The website is bpa.org.ki/radio-Kiribati. The Broadcasting and Publication Authority. Mark Cody in Ontario logged Radio New Zealand International on 9700, February 21st, at 12:35. Opera vocals and talking about jazz as well. And that reminds us, they made yet another frequency change. Their schedule shows it happened way back on 13 January for the 11 to 13 UT segment, which goes to the north-northwest instead of the north-northeast. It had been before that on 9890. Very confusing situation about a Nigerian clandestine or target broadcast. Richard Langley reported that he recorded one of the first broadcasts, February 25th, of the new Radio Narason International. It's spelled N-D-A-R-A-S-O-N, but I heard them pronounce it that way on his recording. He said it's replacement for Dandalkura Radio International, or is it just a name change? Heard via the remote receiver in Holland on 5960 via Ascension between 05 and 07 UT. The website is www.ndarasan.com, and it looks just like the Dandalkura website, except some of the contact info is different. It shows that the erstwhile David Smith is in charge of this one, still using his Okapi email address and a phone number with country code 235, which means Chad. No postal or physical location is given, while the Dandalkura website has different contact information with a 234 phone number, which means Nigeria. The evening broadcast starts at 18 UT on 12050. It has been registered as both Ascension and Issoudun, France, according to Ivo Ivanov. And Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener concluded that Radio Dandalkura is being deliberately interfered with by the new station, Darasan Radio International. So you seem to be hearing both, but it's very difficult to monitor, even more so in North America, because WEWN is also on 12050. On February 27th, I monitored the morning broadcast after 0500 on 5960, which always had a good signal here via Ascension. There was lots of nondescript chanting and talking, but I never heard any IDs. And it went off at 06:59 after playing the Babcock interval signal, indicating it was still via Ascension. Meanwhile, I was hearing nothing on the other listed frequency, 7415, via France. However, as of February 26th, Ivo Ivanov had concluded that Radio Dandalkura International was on the air only via transmitters in France, and it was not Ndarasan Radio International. The previous transmissions via Babcock, he thought, had been canceled. And this just in, more about Ndarasan Radio from Kai Ludwig. On February 27th at 17:59, he reports on monitoring 12050. One transmitter comes up with no further identifiable programming. At 18:01, a second transmitter comes up with programming parallel the webstream of dandalkura.com. So, as a matter of fact, two transmissions with different programming, one of them Dandalkura, are clashing on this frequency. There's also a 20 dB weaker signal before the 1759 carrier, which was WEWN. Kai Ludwig continues, check out the Who Is data for Ndarasan.com. The domain was registered just 4 days ago on February 23rd. I assume the name was simply taken from publicly available sources. On the other hand, Dandalkura still uses that name, reconfirmed via their live stream, while I see no audio content at the clone site at all, neither live nor on demand. So it looks like yet another counteraction from Nigerian authorities. Same kind of stuff that Radio Biafra broadcasting from London. What's new this time is that it seems they now even have the nerve to deliberately blot out the existing transmissions, which on the other hand would not be a first for TDF in France. Years ago they already ran jamming transmissions for their esteemed Libyan customer. Media broadcast, he says, has nothing to do with this. TDF sells airtime on its own, and someone with good contacts to Nigerian authorities no longer appears to be a partner of MB, but quite much with TDF now. Does anyone have contact with David Smith, and will Babcock put up with this or take appropriate action if the situation is really as it appears to be? And finally, Kai Ludwig says, I just checked HFCC data. The Isodun transmissions have indeed been registered by media broadcast starting February 26th. The language specifies as multilingual and remarked to Niger with 500 kilowatts, so it doesn't matter how much it costs. Gross incompetence would really be the most favorable explanation for what is going on here. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1919. Our thanks this week for financial support from John Spicer, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank. To Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. We previously mentioned that the reactivated 5940 shortwave transmitter from Kamchatka was only temporary leading up to the presidential election in Russia. In Rusty X, the schedule is given as only 4 hours a day at 20 to 22 UT and 01 until 03, the latter time when Ron Howard has been hearing it, apparently only on weekdays. Roth Bender in Estevioling Post says the transmission on 5940 compensates for the emission of longwave 180 kilohertz. It had been shut down at the beginning of 2014. And radio coverage ended outside the areas reached by FM stations. And Ron Howard is extremely pleased already to have received an EQSL for Radio Rossi, GTRK, Kamchatka, and it's in English. He sent it to, or received it from, otk@kamchatka.tv. Brother Stare out on Vail has resumed his usual shtick on several shortwave stations, but not too much in the press until this, sent in by Rick Barton in Arizona. It's from ABC News 4, WCIV in Charleston on February 25th. Parents connected with the Ralph Stare case have turned themselves in, according to the Colleton County Sheriff's Office. An affidavit says the mother of one of Stare's alleged victims knew her daughter was allegedly sexually assaulted in the radio room at Overcomer Ministries. It says the mother told her daughter that she would take care of it and that God would punish Stair. The mother failed to report the incident to law enforcement for almost 2 months, prompting her daughter to report it on her own, according to the affidavit. The mother is charged with alleged unlawful neglect of a child or helpless person. A judge gave her a cash bond of $5,000 and a surety bond of $5,000, according to the document. The father was arrested by SLED agents for unlawful conduct toward a child when he turned himself in. An affidavit from Dorchester County reports the father of the alleged Stair victim willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously placed his daughter in unreasonable risk and endangered her by having her removed from the family home to prevent her from reporting a sexual assault. The father also failed to report the assault to law enforcement. He was made aware of the alleged sexual assault that happened in August 2017, a month later in September, during a forensic interview. A SLED agent said the victim notified the Department of Social Services, but were denied access by her father. It was in this instant that the father told his daughter to pack her belongings and leave, according to an SLED agent. The father was booked at the Colleton County Detention Center. This story leads John Filiozzi in Florida to opine. The shortwave broadcasters that have carried and or continue to carry Stair's programming should seriously reconsider their business relationship with him. It would seem the moral and ethical thing to do, a reconsideration even more imperative, one could argue, for those stations that hold themselves out as Christian broadcasters. Clearly, this is no longer simply a free speech First Amendment issue. As I mentioned last week, Radio Mananci, clandestine for Uganda, was about to resume on WWRB, and indeed we were again hearing it from Sunday, February 25th, as early as 1515 UT, and as late as 2100, measured on 15239.936, considerably off frequency and making it easy to track, even though the signal here was very weak from WWRB. So it should be on the air Saturdays and Sundays, at least between 15 and 21 on that frequency. We were wondering how effectively it would get into Uganda, but Dave France says Radio Mananci wants to be heard in North and South America by expatriates. Their internet stream is blocked in Uganda. Shortwave radio does have its use. On Shortwave Radiogram last week, Kim Andrew Elliott quoted significant portions of the Broadcasting Board of Governors' budget request concerning plans for shortwave. Richard Langley decoded it, and it's quoted more fully in the new DX Listening Digest, number 18-09, via worldofradio.com when published. Here's part of what it says. BBG is slated for a $24 million budget reduction in fiscal 2019. Of course, Congress will review and probably modify the budget request. BBG Engineering continues to move from traditional broadcasting technologies such as short and medium wave, where these platforms are no longer popular, to other delivery systems rapidly growing in effectiveness, less expensive to operate, such as FM radio, direct-to-home satellite, internet streaming, mobile, and social media. As part of its multi-year realignment, they will continue to focus efforts on upgrading shortwave capacity at the Kuwait station, even as use of shortwave decreases. With superior strategic location and extremely low operating costs, this station will be able to serve the overwhelming majority of legacy shortwave audiences in the most cost-effective manner possible, at a fraction of the cost of other operated sites or expensive leased capacity. Ultimately, BBG's goal is to be able to serve the most legacy shortwave audiences from this one site at a fraction of the cost of all the other transmitting stations so that other, more expensive sites may be scaled back or closed. They will also install and deploy three newer shortwave transmitters at Greenville, enabling a doubling of frequencies servicing Cuba, making it extremely difficult for the Cuban government to effectively block Radio Martí signals into the island. However, I must add that, according to other reports, the budget for Radio Martí program production itself and its staff is being slashed. From El Nuevo Herald, Miami, via Mike Cooper, The budget justification presented by the BBG includes a $10 million cut to the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, managing Radio and TV Martí, as well as the Martí Noticias website. It also proposes a reduction of full-time personnel from 113 to 51. Last week, I mentioned a surprise new program heard on WBCQ 7490, Radio New Music, Saturday, February 17th at 22 to 23 UT. But I checked the next week, February 24th, as did Alan Rowe in the UK, and there was nothing there. Their website says their weekly broadcasts do begin Saturday, March 3rd. From at least February 14th through the 23rd, a little station in Wellington, Kansas, I can hear in the daytime, KLEY 1130, was way out of whack. There was rapid pulsing on the frequency, and separately, bits of modulation as the carrier cut on and off continuously. They finally got it back in whack when checked at 1831 UT, February 24th. Richard Langley from New Brunswick, currently visiting a slightly warmer Palm Desert, California, recommends a local station he can hear, KWXY AM 1340 in Cathedral City, California, a 24-hour station with 1 kilowatt, of course. The music is adult-oriented and easy listening, familiar vocals and instrumentals from the past, including movie themes, smooth, mostly jazz. It claims to have the largest radio station music library west of the Mississippi, with over 12,000 recordings. There's a two-hour jazz show on the weekends. It describes its format as the sound of elegance, as well as relaxing music and beautiful music, but it's far from elevator music. And as for us Canucks, there is Canada Calling twice a day at about 9:15 and 12:15 Pacific time. Stephen Luce in Houston, Texas replies, "This type of format is extremely rare these days. KWXY has a good quality web stream as well. It's simply kwxy.com. Filed under unidentified at approximately 6050.5 kHz. February 25th at 0156, I heard a huge, filthy spur blob with talkish modulation, completely unintelligible in SSB AM or FM modes. It spread about 6046 to 6055. I could also hear a carrier emit it at 6050 exactly, which must have been poor HCJB, which I do not think was the source of this, but the victim. It must have been HJDH, La Voz de Tu Conciencia in Colombia, which several times before I had caught doing this above 6040. And the first time heard, I did make out a definite ID. That's the one supposed to be on 6010 at this time. I could detect only one barely audible carrier there, maybe from Brazil. So please, someone, kick the transmitter in Colombia. The propagation outlook from OK1HH in Prague. The geomagnetic field will be quiet to active on February 28th, March 4th, 9th, 17th, and 18th. Quiet on March 1st, 6th, 10th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. Mostly quiet March 2nd, 7th, and 11th. Quiet to unsettled March 3rd, 5th, 8th, 15th, and 16th. And active to disturbed March 14th. The propagation outlook from Boulder, lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 all the way from February 28th to March 13th, but then rising to 18 and 4 on March 18th, meaning G1 minor geomagnetic storms. Solar flux rising from 68 February 27th to a peak of 78 from March 2nd through 12th, and then down to 68 again by March 16th. And that's World of Radio 1919. I'm Glenn Hauser.